Bitcoin is a lifeboat on the sinking fiat ship. Lifeboats on a sinking ship don't need a marketing department. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible, your place to learn everything there is to know about Bitcoin from every angle, from every perspective. We cover it all. We read all of the best in Bitcoin and we make it audible. I am Guy Swan, your professor for the day, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anyone else you know. We have a short but really fun read today. As you know, it's been a long, busy week. But this one was just one that I had to throw in the mix, even though I've been a little bit low on time. This one is from Francis Pouyot, the CEO of Bold Bitcoin. You know him without a doubt. Now, I know we have a lot of people on this show who are from, you know, all walks of life. Not everybody agrees politically. Francis does not mince words, so. You know, he doesn't like really get into a lot of it in this article, but if you don't appreciate insults against wokeism or whatever, you know, Francis might be one to avoid just in general. If that's going to bother you, then, you know, just skip this episode. There's a million other reads or topics that we cover to learn literally anything there is to know about Bitcoin. I just thought this one was kind of fun. And as New York puts a ban on Bitcoin mining in the state, the White House has announced it's going to come up with Bitcoin mining policy guidance. It's just a really good time to prepare our response. Cry harder. And what's funny, there's actually a research report that I really want to dig into the methodology, but they have detailed out, they've attempted to estimate the staggering cost of the credit card payment systems, of the settlement cost of the Federal Reserve, of like the structure, and trying to find exactly how to analogize one to the other, the actual creation, settlement, and verification of the money. What does that cost in the legacy system versus Bitcoin that has managed to create trust through merely the act of computation? Which is a phenomenal breakthrough. It is literally like a 1,000-year breakthrough when it comes to the idea of all of our, how trust is developed and maintained in society. It's a disaster. Like it is one of the most subjective and difficult to maintain things. And we've actually been able to, Satoshi was able to accomplish this in a network of money through purely leveraging the cost of computation as a barrier to the manipulation of that trust. It is the security of Bitcoin. And it is an unbelievably profound breakthrough. But what's crazy, I haven't read the report yet. It's like 27 pages. We'll probably have it in audio on the show if it's readable. You know, like it might just be full of stuff that makes it impossible in audio. But that says that Bitcoin is actually 56 times as efficient as the legacy system. That's what it essentially proposes as it goes through this methodology. And from what I have read so far, it seems really thorough. It seems thorough, and it seems like they actually were trying to be honest and take out the things that are not a fair comparison, and making sure that where things are overlapping, that they're not being counted twice or incorrectly in the legacy system versus Bitcoin. So I just thought that was really interesting. I'll have the link in the show notes if you want to get a head start on that, but we will be covering it on the show. I want to know how, I'm very curious how robust that paper and the logic is as it breaks down, because I'll be surprised. I would have guessed that the legacy system was less efficient, but I wouldn't have assumed the number was that large. So we'll see. We'll see. We will be covering it on Bitcoin Audible, obviously. Let's get into Francis's piece. Real quick, I just want to say a thank you to Swan Bitcoin, the best place to get started in Bitcoin that is out there. Then the BitBox O2 hardware wallet, the safe, easy way to own your Bitcoin, to hold your keys, and then the Fold card, the debit card that gets you sats back on every fiat dollar you spend. Check them all out, all our great sponsors and their products at guyswan.com, S-W-A-N-N, and Guy is spelled like Guy, and if you can't get there, then you don't deserve these great products and services if you can't spell Guy. Links and everything are right in the show notes, details, discount codes, other goodies for the Audionauts. With that, let's get into today's amazing read, and it's titled Cry Harder by Francis Pouyot. The only thing you can do about Bitcoin's energy consumption is cry harder. This essay is dedicated to the victims of Brandolini's Law. Bitcoin is driven by the laws of the universe, by human nature. It is an unstoppable force. It's censorship resistant. It's anonymous. Anybody can mine without permission, and people have already been doing it, legally or not, all over the world. You can't stop Bitcoin mining from happening. Even the heat from international drug markets using Bitcoin wasn't enough to, at any point in time, be of any consequence whatsoever on Bitcoin mining. Bitcoin mining is pretty much the most anti-fragile system designed by man. Any attack on Bitcoin is guaranteed to make Bitcoin stronger, which itself implies a higher price, a higher hash rate, and higher energy consumption. The idea of doubling the size of Bitcoin's block data format was so controversial it created a civil war that lasted 2 years. There is absolutely no way you can ever get consensus to change the Bitcoin protocol rules in a way that affects mining incentives and economics, at least not in the making it geared towards clean mining sense. Meme. No, Bitcoin bad for environment. What? I can't hear you. You know, my miners, they're just so loud. Debating Bitcoin's energy consumption is like debating the law of gravity, or the cycle of the tides, whether or not you agree about solar eclipses. You can't change Bitcoin. It's not a democracy. It can't be taken over by convincing people with money to hire people with guns. It's just the way it is. The hash rate will continue to increase pretty much forever. And yes, it will consume a lot of coal and natural gas and oil and all sorts of energy at a scale most people can't even fathom. Even if renewables are a larger share of mining and increase their share over time, the amount of CO2 that will be added to the atmosphere as a result of Bitcoin mining will absolutely increase. But you, intelligent Bitcoin advocate, have so many great arguments to share that would convince them that Bitcoin is actually very good for the environment. Yes, it's true that Bitcoin incentivizes the efficient use of energy, and that over time it will lead to an energy renaissance that may lead to extremely efficient renewable energy and most probably nuclear energy. Sound money will bring about a new age of low time preference, where people will take good care of the environment because they will derive immense pleasure from doing so. So, if all of that is going to happen, what's the point of even debating it? Assuming you can even debate rationally with such nonsense, which you can't, see below, what does it even matter if you are right or wrong? Are you coming to bed? I can't, this is important. What? Someone is wrong on the internet. Given that Bitcoin critics have absolutely no control over Bitcoin whatsoever, why debate with them? Many Bitcoin advocates are obsessed about bad press. So what? Any, quote, bad press coming from the woke, social justice, eco-Marxist mainstream media establishment about Bitcoin is good for Bitcoin. We want to put as much distance as possible with these kinds of people, for the sake of Bitcoin's public image in the eyes of the remnant. If you believe the Bitcoin bad for climate meme is actually a threat to Bitcoin's dominance as sound money, then clearly your weak hands are going to fold at some point anyway. So given that there is a limited amount of Bitcoin, by trying to sell the idea of Bitcoin to others, you are limiting your own potential share of Bitcoins that will ever exist. Even if you have the calling to preach the gospel of Bitcoin, I understand, I do too, then why would you focus your energy on people that are clearly not receptive to your ideas, clearly in the gullible sheep category, while so many other people have never heard about Bitcoin? Satoshi tried to warn us about these people when he said, quote, "If you don't believe me or don't get it, I don't have time to try to convince you. Sorry." Quote, "The amount of energy needed to refute bullshit is an order of magnitude larger than to produce it." Brandolini's Law. When debating with such people, you must agree to operate within an extremely narrow intellectual window which has fallacious and false premises to even be able to communicate with them in a way that they can understand. You have to devalue your own narrative, devalue your own intellectual capacity. That is because you believe that there is such thing as right and wrong, and that if you are convincing enough, they will have to eventually agree with you. But as we have seen recently, what you will get at best is agree to disagree. After all, there are experts on both sides of this issue, so reality must be somewhere in the middle, right? We need to reach some kind of consensus before we can move forward. Cringe. The cringe can be overwhelming. I know. It's an itch you have to scratch. We must correct the slander against Bitcoin. We must repair this intellectual injustice. But it's a mental energy trap. But never forget that people will adopt Bitcoin because they want to eat. They want to pay their rent. The price of Bitcoin will continue to go up to unbelievable levels. One Bitcoin will be over what today is the equivalent of $10 million in a few decades. Bitcoin is a lifeboat on the sinking fiat ship. Lifeboats on a sinking ship don't need a marketing department. Regardless of any bad press, ESG quotas which prevent big firms from investing in Bitcoin, or whatever threat of boycott Bitcoin's opponents can muster, the Bitcoin hash rate will continue to go up. Bitcoin will become more distributed and immutable. There is no way to put a dent in Bitcoin's energy consumption by regulating it, taxing it, trying to ban it, or controlling it in any way. The globalist nation-state system is crumbling. The age of the sovereign individual is near. There will always be jurisdictional arbitrage that guarantees that Bitcoin miners will find safe havens to mine at cheap energy. And it just so happens that otherwise illiquid fossil fuels are extremely efficient for that. We're far beyond the point of anyone being able to have any impact on Bitcoin energy consumption in any way, shape, or form. There is no way to change Bitcoin's proof-of-work system. Good luck with your shitcoin. Or to change the incentive structures and network which demand an unfathomable amount of energy be dedicated to find Bitcoin nonces. Bitcoin is a hungry monster. It will stop at nothing to consume the most energy possible. You want to boycott Bitcoin because you think it consumes too much energy? Have fun being poor. Bitcoin has emerged and will remain the dominant money. And Bitcoin will never change. There is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Except, cry harder. Alright, that concludes Cry Harder by Francis Pouillot. Let's take a quick moment, hit our sponsor for today, and then I want a short guy's take on this piece. SwanBitcoin.com is simply the best place to go to get allocated, to get started, and to learn about how to get into the Bitcoin ecosystem, to start your positioning, your savings plan in Bitcoin. They have an automatic savings plan. So if you want to buy regularly, you want to DCA and ignore all the market noise, you can get every month, every week, every day, you can buy Bitcoin on an automatic basis. You set it once and forget it. And that's in addition to an instant buy button of up to $10 million. And with Swan Private at swanbitcoin.com/private, they have resources and assistance for how corporations and high net worth individuals can build generational wealth with Bitcoin. You get direct access to the Swan Private team. You get tax form assistance, guidance on how to self-custody, wire support with no limit on purchases, and even guidance for your retirement account. If you've been thinking about allocating to Bitcoin and you haven't done it yet, don't wait. Start now. Go to swanbitcoin.com/guy. Again, that is swanbitcoin.com/guy. So Francis has a quote closer to kind of the beginning of this piece where, so he opens with the concept of, you know, you can't debate this topic with someone who doesn't realize that there is no change to be made at the end of the debate. Like, you're arguing about something that is as set in stone as anything that has been engineered by man. And I actually agree with that. Like, I know that sounds like some pontificating, oh, Bitcoin is strong and nobody's going to do anything. Like it's like trying to alter, like fundamentally trying to alter the TCP/IP protocol today. Like, you have so much infrastructure built on top of it, and all the devices have to stay in consensus. I actually think that would be easier than doing so with Bitcoin, because the way that Bitcoin maintains its rules and the purpose of the rules is to sustain an economic game theory, which means that not only do you have the protocol tendencies to adhere, or to ossify, I guess is the better word, but you also have the economic game theory, such that all of the incentives, all of the profit incentives, all of the disincentives are reinforcing exactly the same thing. I mean, seriously, what human designed system, what human created system or structure has that degree of cohesion, has that degree of strength or resistance to change? And there's a quote towards the beginning of this here that I was referring to. It says, you can't change Bitcoin. It's not a democracy. It can't be taken over by convincing people with money to hire people with guns. It's just the way it is. And this is something that's so critical. People think that because you can defend network consensus, that this is some sort of a democracy, that this is some sort of system where people are voting. And this is where the mistake comes in from the political sphere, which is a good mistake that they're making. And it's also the same mistake that was made during the block size wars with Bcash and all the big blockers, is that they've fundamentally misunderstood why the network cohesion, why the consensus is so strong in one direction, why consensus is around maintaining the current consensus, why the strength or the power of the network is around maintaining the current consensus rather than changing it arbitrarily. Because any change that is made with a hard fork necessarily is arbitrary, because it's outside of consensus. So you immediately go back to all of the political consensus problems. Then you are talking about a democracy. But when you try to attack something that is not a democracy with the framing that's how you attack it, that's how you're going to change it, and everybody in the political sphere is obviously going to default to this perception that, oh, we need to get all of the Bitcoiners to agree. Like, they're just going to use their same tactics, right? They're going to use their propaganda. They're going to use their influence and their prominence in the media and their big political stage. They're going to think that if we get enough people angry and enough people squealing and participating in the cancel culture around this one idea, well, then we'll change it. Why do they think that? Because that's what works in politics. But politics, this democracy, this surface layer of how our political system works, is unbelievably weak, is unbelievably volatile and wishy-washy. It literally just leans over almost to the point of breaking in the winds of the cheap, ever-changing, frivolous political whims of the majority. Most people are followers. It just is. Most people are NPCs. That's why the meme has arisen. I support the current thing, because it's so fucking true, and it changes every 6 months. That apparatus, that social sphere, does not control Bitcoin like they think it does. And those are their only tools. It's like the Federal Reserve, right? They have basically one tool. They call it like 9 different things, and they bring it out in 20 different ways, and they pretend like it's something new, and they put it in some like convoluted wrapped up reserve repo, blah, blah. Like they give it the appearance of intellectualism and complexity and nuance, when really they just have a hammer and they're just bashing everything. The only thing the Federal Reserve does is counterfeit money and use it in all the different ways that you can use counterfeit money. Same thing with the political sphere. Same thing with the idea of democracy. When they make that misconception, when they make that failure to understand how and why the Bitcoin system maintains and protects consensus for something that's so freaking hard to change, even when you do understand it. If you don't even get it, you're certainly not going to make any progress. And you know, I fall into the fallacy, I guess, the mental mind trap that he says in this piece of like feeling like you need to answer all the bullshit. You know, I mean, it's the internet, right? That's how the meme goes. I can't go to sleep. Somebody is wrong on the internet. But it's so true. It puts you in this wormhole of Brandolini's law. There is an infinite amount of cheaply produced bullshit, and it takes orders of magnitude more energy to try to refute it all, when at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You think I support the current thing people are going to have a meaningful impact on Bitcoin? I mean, look at the hilarity of the change the code propaganda. Brad Garlinghouse is what, spending $5 million, $10 million? What the hell, what was it even? On this pathetic, absolutely pathetic campaign to get Bitcoin to switch to proof of stake. And he won't even release a client. Like, release a client. Come on, man. I'll run that shit. We want our shitcoin airdrops too. It's not fair that Bitcoiners don't get those anymore. You know, there's actually another thing, like Francis brings up, and just on the idea of quote unquote bad press. I think there's an element to remember, or an important piece to remember in this whole thing, is that Bitcoin is impossible to ignore. It's becoming significant enough and persistent enough, like reliable enough, as a staple in the scope of reality, in the Overton window of everyone's world, that you can't get around it. You can't pretend it's not there anymore. And in the context of trying to stop all the bad press or argue against everybody who is angry with it or wants to change it or thinks that, you know, it's bad for the environment or whatever, like, think about how many people still complain about the internet today. Who say, like, the social media is, like, the worst thing that ever happened to us as a species. Does that mean that, where do they post that? On Twitter. They post on Twitter about how Twitter is the worst thing to ever happen. Is arguing with them really going to, is that going to add more users to social media? Is their complaint a meaningful contest? Is it a problem for social media that they are slowing social media adoption with their excellent logical arguments? Or are they actually adding everyone's reliance on it because they're literally posting on social media? Like, there is going to be that point where somebody is literally using Bitcoin or Lightning to post or to make a comment or to get tips over a live stream while they complain about how Bitcoin is terrible and it's going to ruin the world and it never should have been invented. But my favorite quote from this, and this is an idea that we brought up like a number of times on the show in the past, and it's why, again, I iterate over and over and over again, Bitcoin's game, Bitcoin's success depends merely on its survival. Like, I genuinely believe that. Bitcoin simply has to keep working the way it is working, and we keep building on top of it. But in a game where all of our trusted institutions are untrustworthy, where the means by which we establish cultural and economic consensus are falling apart all you need is a foundation. All you need is a totem to lean on so that you can revive that consensus. And so the quote that Francis has in this that I think is just sums it up perfectly is, quote, "Bitcoin is a lifeboat on the sinking fiat ship. Lifeboats on a sinking ship don't need a marketing department." Really, all we need to do as Bitcoiners to get ahead of this and to protect ourselves and to protect Bitcoin is make sure you withdraw from the exchanges, hold your own keys, store your Bitcoin on your Bitbox, your cold card, your Keystone, your Trezor, whatever the hell it is. Get yourself a good hardware wallet. Hold your keys. Run a node. And whenever somebody says that Bitcoin needs to change its code or move to proof of stake or fix its environmental, its energy footprint, you know, just post the Ray Liotta laughing gif. And maybe cry harder is the most productive response a lot of the time. Not to say there shouldn't be arguments, there shouldn't be debates, that we should not lay out our side of the position. We should not, obviously, we should explain and share these ideas and teach people. But when somebody's just being a belligerent ass, has zero interest in learning anything, and isn't even trying to be accurate. Like, how many times is somebody blatantly and easily proven wrong, and then they will reiterate the exact same thing that was absolutely 100% false within another comment, straight up immediately afterward? Those people do not deserve our time. Remember, time and Bitcoin are the only two things scarce in your life. So for the same reason you wouldn't give that person your Bitcoin for their dumb opinion, don't give them your time. You're not going to change their mind. Like Satoshi, take the great lesson from Satoshi. If they aren't open to learning, if they aren't trying to understand something, and they're going to latch onto absolutely stupid and completely false statements, then don't spend your time on them. If you don't believe me or you don't get it, I don't have time to try to convince you. Sorry. Satoshi said it best. All right. We will close this one out here. This is just a fun little piece. Francis is always infinitely unapologetic, and his reads are very much entertaining. So I thought this would be a good addition for the week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Bitbox, to Swan Bitcoin, to Fold for being the foundation of my Bitcoin services in life. These are literally the services that I use more than anything. But then also for keeping Bitcoin Audible alive, for keeping the lights on over here, and keeping us all fed in the Swan household. Thank you guys for listening. Do not forget to subscribe to the show. Follow me on Twitter. Lots of stuff to come. I hope I see you all at the Bitcoin Day Conference. I think it's code GUY. That gets you 10% off your tickets if you have not gotten yours yet. It is literally, what's today's Friday? It is tomorrow. So get ready. I will see you there. Maybe we'll get a chance to hang out. All right, guys. Until next time, take it easy. You have been listening to Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.